Today's word is from Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." The word of God for the people of God.
Would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me at this time? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, would be a blessing to those who are here, and that your spirit would enlighten our hearts and our minds, that through this scripture we might find things that would inform how we live and how we think. And this I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to talk about heaven today, and that may be a topic that you don't like to talk about, or you don't think about very often. That's often the case. I know years ago, Karen and I, my wife and I, went, and we had had our first daughter, Rebecca, at that time, had been born about a year, and we decided we needed a will, and so we went to the attorney, and we talked to the attorney, and you know, filled in all the blanks, and the attorney said, "Great, I'll prepare this, and about a week from now, we're gonna call you, and you can come sign it, and that'll complete your will." By the way, can I just tell you, we're in about a month, we're going to do a workshop on some of those matters, and I hope you'll attend. If you don't have that, you need that. That's important. I say to you that to you as a pastor. That's a little public service announcement embedded in the sermon. Now, a week went by, and we got a phone call in the voicemail. It was the attorney's office. They said, "You can come sign your will." The person who was supposed to return that call ignored it for a week. And then a second week came, and the attorney's office called a second time and said, "You can come sign your will." And the person responsible for returning that call at that point was reminded by his wife that he needed to do that. And so I dutifully ignored that for another week. And then a third time, the attorney's office called and said, "Your will is fully prepared, and it's time to sign it. And if you would just give us a call." And that time I knew I didn't want to get another reminder, and so I picked up the phone and I made, "Gosh, I'm sorry, we've been so busy." Basically, I lied. And because the truth is, I didn't know why I wasn't returning that call. And I finally just said, "Listen, I'm really sorry I haven't returned your call. I don't know what's going on." And the woman in the attorney's office said this. She said, "Oh, everybody does." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "It always takes me at least 3 calls to get people to come sign a will." And I just was really interested, and I was intrigued in my reaction and the fact that I was alone. And I said, "Why do you think that is?" And she said, "I think people don't like to think about death. And signing a document that says that's going to happen one day is not something people want to do." I was really intrigued by that. We did go sign it eventually and completed that task. Well, what's interesting to me is that when I think about my life as a pastor, one of the doctrines of the church that I thought the least about, and as I talk to other Christians, many of you don't think much about, is heaven. And so last week we started a sermon series where over the next few weeks we're talking about heaven and the afterlife and the promise of hope that's in the scripture about all this, because I think we should receive this not as bad news as good news. And today I'm going to tell you 3 things about heaven that are true and are scriptural. And the reason I want to do that is so many of us, we've got so many different views of heaven, and most of them are not based on scripture. Like when you talk to some people about what happens when you die, they say, "Well, if you die and you know you're going to go to heaven, what happens is you go and you get to play golf, endless rounds of golf at different golf courses." And I've heard people give the golf view of heaven, and I'm always, my question is this: where on earth did you find that in the Bible? What is that? Because the idea is heaven's like a 5-star resort that you check into, use the amenities, but you don't have to pay for. Isn't that awesome? I just don't know where you find that. Maybe true. I hope it's true, except I hope it's not golf. But I hope it's true, because the way I play golf, that's more like the other place. Other people have a view of heaven that you sit on the clouds. You sit on the clouds and you play a harp. Are you kidding? I mean, honestly, you sit on clouds and play harps. That's awful. I don't want to go there. I mean, the harps in the cartoons only have three strings. How interesting can that be? The other view that I've heard people say is heaven's an endless worship service. Now, I believe in coming to worship services. I'm for it, okay? In fact, other than the other two clergy, I don't know that anybody who does more worship services on a weekend than me. Can I tell you something? At 8 o'clock on Sunday evening, I'm not looking for another worship service after having been at 4. So I'm for worship. I believe in the power of worship and the goodness of worship, but endless worship, for most people, that doesn't sound great either. So what's heaven? So I'm going to need 4 volunteers right now. I'd prefer them to have purple shirts. So, yes, you, and you, and I need yes, right there, the young man, that's you, yes. And then a fourth, come on up here. I need a boy. Yes, there, right here. Good, that gives us all, every section, that's great, come on up. Look at this, just stay, what the heck. We'll work it out. I don't know what you're going to do either, but we'll work it out. Okay. I really don't know what you'll do. Come here, all 4, come up here, you guys. Come all 5 of you, right here. Okay, so these girls, I want you to stand right here, okay? Now, first thing about heaven that is true and found in Scripture is this. Your life is short, but your eternity is long. And I know you may say, this is obvious, Sunday, Tom. Everything you're saying is terribly obvious. Girls, this rope, this long rope that I'm holding, represents your life, your lifespan. How old are you? 7 3/4. I love the 3/4. You're 7 3/4. How old are you?
9.
Just 9?
Yes.
No 3/4, no half, no 1/8, nothing of that? Okay. 9. Okay, take that in. Now, hold this in. Okay, now pull the rope to get to the very end. Pull it hard. No, pull. Is that it? Okay, come stand up here. Keep it stretched between you and hold it. This, you are 7 3/4. That puts you here. And we just hope this is a very long line. But who's the oldest person you know? How old is the oldest person you know?
The oldest person is my great aunt Jane.
How old is she? If you had to guess.
80-something.
80-something. How old is the oldest person you know?
97.
Whoa. That's old. I mean, I'm sorry. When you're 97, you're old. You're not mature. You're not like, you're just at 97. I've known people who are 97. They said, I'm old. So would we all agree 97 is old? Okay, this is 0. Here's 7 3/4. Here's 97. Okay, now this represents eternity. So come stand right here. No, you're right here. You're on this end. Face that direction. Boys, I need one of you. Oh, you got to hold tight. Are you holding tight? Because I need you to hold tight. Mister. Okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to walk down the aisle and slowly unravel that string. Don't get it tangled up, boys. Keep going. Now, this is eternity. Okay? Keep going. Because, see, eternity is longer than 97 years. Would you all agree? Yes. Is it a lot longer or a little longer? Okay, so, boys, keep going. All right? Keep walking. Keep going. The ushers are opening the doors for you. Keep going. You'll see. Yes, I love this. She goes, let's see where they end up. Where are they going to end up? We don't know. Okay, keep going. Keep going. You're slowing. Open the second door. Okay. Watch out for the cars. Okay. All right. There you go. That's it. All right. They're still walking. They're headed towards the... No, seriously, stop them, because there are cars now. That's not a... It was funny the first time. It's not funny now. Now, boys, if we were really going to do this properly, you would keep walking until you got to California, the coast, because you're headed west right now. If I had string that long. Now, everybody, look at this. This is your life, but this is your eternity. Now here's, hold tight. What are you dropping out on me? No, you got, okay, you can let it go. You can let it go. They're pulling it now. Look, they're like, eternity's going, man. All right, now, can you give our volunteers a hand? Very nice. Thank you. Here's the deal about your life. Most of you have, you can just leave it on the floor. Leave it right on the floor. We have a magic way that it's going to work out. Most of you have spent a lot of time preparing for your life. So in the last service, I had two physicians that were sitting in the congregation, and here's what I said. Those two physicians spent this much time in elementary, middle, and high school. Then they spent this much time in college, this much time in med school, this much time on internship, and this much time in residency, and this is their retirement. And they spent all of this time here in preparation for this time of service. Now, would you like to have a doctor who didn't prepare that much time? My answer is no. I don't want a doctor that says, you know what, let me just check on the internet. I'm not sure. I only went to a year of college. I'm interested in medical things, but I didn't really spend much time preparing. No, I want a doctor that actually did their homework, went through their whole process and all that. Why? Because this time is really important. However, this time is nothing compared to the time that you're going to spend in heaven. So here's my question. Are you spending the time here preparing for your real life? Because what if your real life is not here as much as it is in eternity? Are you aware of the things of God? Are you preparing your family? Are you preparing your family for the things of God in eternity? Because here's the deal. Heaven is long, but this life is short. And I don't care if you live to be 97 or sometime earlier or longer. I don't know anybody who looks at their life and says it was incredibly long. It felt infinite. Are you preparing for the real thing? And the revelation to John puts it this way. The revelation to John says, he said to me, it is done. And God says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. And to the thirsty, I'll give water without cost for the spring of the water of life. And what God says in the scripture is this. If you're thirsty for the things of God, and if this world often leaves you depleted, heaven is going to be like an eternal spring. That's never going to run out. Hey, this week we had a very tragic funeral in this church. And I want to be honest, I felt a little dry this week, a little parched. But the afternoon of the funeral, I walked out into that fellowship hall and I stood there and I watched the church love the family, care for the family. An amazing reception, hundreds of guests. Somebody said to me, they said that they were just dumbfounded because they were in the community. They said, what's all this cost? And the answer is nothing. Didn't cost anybody anything except those who gave. And there's this old hymn that kind of describes that. It has a refrain, love lifted me. Do you know that song? Love lifted me. Sing it with me, would you? Because I'm not that great. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. Now you can sing it's the whole thing. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else would help, love lifted me. And some days the only thing that can lift you is love. And that's what preparing in this life for that eternal life is about. It's growing deeper and deeper as a loving person, a kind person, a compassionate person. And the more you prepare for the heaven, the long line that is to come, the more it transforms how you live now. Second thing about heaven I want to teach you this morning. It's in the scripture. Didn't make this up. This is in the scripture. This world that you're living in right now, this world is about deterioration and it's about entropy. Entropy is a word from physics. I need another volunteer. Yes, let's choose. Who shall we choose? One with a little height would help. One with a little, did you go last time? You come up here. Come up here. You've got, this girl's got eager eyes. Yeah, come on up. Let's take two of you. That's great. I love that. Were you here last time? I thought so. I'm not sure how he slipped away. Okay, I want you to each grab a corner of this. Now, is this a nice stack? Would you agree? Yeah, would you agree? No, here, you're here, and you're here, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tilt the table in such a way that this stack lands on the floor perfectly like it is right now. Okay, you ready for that? You've got to tilt the table. You're not going to drop the table. Look at me. Are we going to drop the table? No, we're not. No. But you're going to tilt it, and you're going to get these to fall on the floor so they land exactly like that. Now, I want you to think about how you're going to do that. Let me tell them something for a second. Okay, you ready? Here's the deal. Fox Mill Road is being repaved right now. Have you noticed that? And when they repave it, it's kind of a mess because it's uneven, and I've been driving on it all week. And like, you know. And over closer to where I live, it's even worse. And they're repaving it. Praise God, they're repaving it. Isn't that great? Love to be an American. That's really good. And so they're repaving it. Guess when they're going to have to repave it again? You know the answer? In a little while. You know why? It's going to snow. Car's going to run over it. Truck's going to run it. Plows are going to scrape it up. And I can guarantee you something. In a few years from now, they're going to have to repave it again. Not because anyone did anything wrong or bad. Why? This world tends to move towards disorder. Have you driven on the new Fox Mill Road? Can I tell you something? It is fantastic. It really is. It's smooth. I drive across. I'm like, it is so great to live here because this happened. I love this. And I just, wow. But guess what? In a couple years, you're going to be driving on Fox Mill Road, and guess what you're going to think? Somebody ought to fix that pothole. Somebody ought to do something about that divot right there. Why? Because this world is about disorder. That's not just true of physical things. That's true of relational things. Sometimes relationships that used to be close and loving, it can be a friendship. It can be a mother-daughter, father-son, you know, all those combinations. It can be spousal relationship. Those relationships tend to lose energy over time unless we put new energy into them. Why? Because this world, I don't know, I can tell you the theological term for that. We live in a fallen world. My body, I know you're thinking, but Tom, you're so good looking. I know. I know. My body is not what it used to be. Can I tell you that? Sometimes if I go for a short run, I come back and I'm like limping around. What's wrong with me? Well, even though you're still in your 40s, for another couple months, it just changes, doesn't it? Why? This world tends to move towards disorder, but heaven is a world of order. Heaven is a world of creation and new creation. But this world, you have to live with the laws, and in physics, this is called entropy. And some of you know a lot more about physics than I ever will or ever care to. But this is true. In a closed system, it is possible for this stack to fall and land exactly the way it is right now. That is possible. Now, let's see. Are you two ready now? Let's see what happens in this world. Let's see what you can do. Are we going to let go of the table? No. But tip it over. How'd you do? Horribly. Yes, you did. You did horribly. Let's give him a hand anyway. That's great. Hey. Keep going. She said, how'd you do? She said, I did horribly. Listen, there's a reason that it didn't turn out the way we wanted, and it's not your fault. That's how this world works. Trying to keep things perfect in this world is hard. That's why my garage needs to be cleaned out again. Things move towards chaos and disorder. But listen, the scripture says this. The Bible says this about heaven. Heaven is a very different place. I saw, this is Revelation John, the 21st chapter. You heard it read by Joshua just a few minutes ago. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, why does it say there's no longer any sea? Most of us like the ocean. Most of us love to go there. In the ancient world, the ocean was a place of fear and death. The likelihood of drowning if you got into the ocean was very high in those days because of ships and navigation and everything else. And so the sea goes away because that's the place where all the bad stuff happens. I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bridegroom, I'm sorry, as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And get this in verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of way has passed away. What's that saying? That's saying that while this world has a lot of tragedy, accidents, nobody meant any harm, it was an accident. Tragedy that sometimes we cause through our sinfulness. Again, the theological language is we are fallen too. It's not just that we live in a fallen world and our bodies are fallen and deteriorate over time. It's that we sometimes do the things that bring the most pain into our lives. Our responsibility. No more mourning, no more pain, no more tears, no more regrets. Why? Because in heaven, it's going to be about order and creation, not about disorder and deterioration. It's a very new existence. And that's going to be true in every single way. There's going to be no more fallenness. There's going to be no more hardship. All of that's gone. I don't know if you get to play golf forever and ever. I just don't know. Maybe so. What I can tell you this is it's going to be just better, and you're going to get a new body even. It says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the body that is sown is perishable. This body is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown as weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. So there will be no, I hate to tell you this, doctors in heaven. We need you now desperately. But there'll come a day when you won't have to see patients and I won't have to do pastoral care. And that will be awesome. That's why I think it's worthy of our attention to prepare for heaven. Not only do I want to go there, I want to have confidence in this life that I am going there. Here's one last thing about heaven. God's going to be at the center of it. If you're a guest today, you may have grown up in another theological tradition, another church tradition. You may have been Greek or Armenian or Russian Orthodox or Coptic or Catholic or another Protestant tradition, Quaker, whatever. You could have come from a bunch of traditions, but here's something I know about it. If you were in any tradition, if you've ever been in church before, here's what I know about you. When you walked into a church, a sanctuary like this, your eyes were focused on something that reminded you of God. Your eyes were focused on something that reminded you of God, and nothing else was allowed to get in the way of your view and obstruct it. It may have been a beautiful mosaic in the top of a rotunda. It may have been a Lord's table like this. It may have been an altar that was ornate, but something focused you on God, and there's a reason. Sanctuaries are built with the revelation of John in mind, and when we get to heaven, God will be at the center. And that's what John saw in the Revelation, and it's affected everything in the church, from our theology to our architecture. John said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is among people. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be there and be their God. And so when you get to heaven, God's going to be at the center, and that space will be sacred and holy. And this may be where people think, you know what, it's going to be an endless worship service, because worship is talked about in the Revelation of John. But the thing is, think less endless worship service, think more endless loving relationship with God. Because you know what we do a lot in this world? In this brief life, it's really interesting what we do. We've got this very brief life to prepare for the life to come. But sometimes the thing that's not in this life is anything that has to do with our Creator. We go through this life on our own, and we put God aside, and we think to ourselves, one day I'm going to get to it, 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 and this life we discover is very brief. Ask the 97-year-old, was your life long or brief? She'll tell you, it went by so fast. So my question to you as I end is this. Is your life putting God at the center? Because I got to tell you something, there are some weeks where it is so painfully evident that that is the wisest decision you can make, not only for yourself, but for your family. And I don't like to talk about death. I don't like to sign wills. That's who I am. But I know something, because I've been a pastor a long time now. This thing you think is so long, it's short. It's brief, and it doesn't matter how many years you get. That's how it's going to be. But one day, you and I, through Christ, can come to sit in a place that is eternal in nature. There is no fear, there is no anxiety, there is no worry there, because God is at the center and all is well. We have spiritual bodies that are going to be perfect and not deteriorate. We're not going to have pain or mourning or suffering. We're not going to lose people we love. But I said just a second ago, through Christ, because that's the only confidence I have. If I had another way to get you there that I was confident about, I would tell you about it. I simply don't. I have thrown my lot with Christ because I think he's real and I think he's true. And so I invite you, if you haven't accepted Christ and you want to talk to somebody about that, catch me after the worship service. And I'll either spend time with you this week, or I'll find somebody who can, if I can't. Or we'll do it in 2 weeks. But the point is this. If you don't have absolute confidence today that you're going to be in heaven, isn't that something you'd want to spend these few days figuring out? Oh, I hope everything I believe about heaven is true. I hope there are voices as good as Rachel's singing songs of praise. I hope that there are people who come up like Joshua did this morning and read the scripture, and we all just go, wow, everything that was said there is true, and now I understand it all. I hope that there's songs of praise like our kids came up and sang. I hope there's the joy that I saw this week in Vacation Bible School. I hope there's the love and fellowship I saw in a funeral. And I hope that love will lift you when nothing else will help. I hope that the love of Christ will lift you from this life to the eternal one. If you want to talk more about that, find me. Find one of our other pastors. Tim's leaving in a few minutes to go to Costa Rica with a group of students. So if you find him, you're going to have to go in his suitcase, but we'll help you. That's all I've got. Thank you. Kids especially, what attentive listeners you've been. Your parents right now think you are fantastic because you did such a great job listening in church. I want to just thank you for that and all you've done this week. And now, would you just bow your heads for a word of prayer? Lord, as we prepare for this next song, we want to offer this day to you. And I pray that all of us will take heaven seriously and begin to really think about what is there for us. And I pray that we would offer Christ to ourselves and offer Christ to our children, that they would have a basis upon which to make a decision as they enter their adult life. Lord, help us not raise our kids in such a way that we leave them with nothing when it comes time for them to make some decisions about what they believe and what they'll hold dear. But help us to give them a legacy upon which they can decide. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.